On Half Time, the world game with Carlos Alberto Diego from 4diegos.com. For auction your car auction this Saturday.
He satisfies me every week, Carlos Alberto Diego, 4diegos. Tonight from 11, the boys get back together and round out your Wednesday. It's great to have him with us every single week. Hello, Carlos.
How are you, Half? How are you going?
Good, mate. Good. What's doing?
What's doing? Just trolling the media.
Oh, trolling the media.
Distinct from being trolled, which we are now and again on social media, but trolling the media. I was just really interested. I don't know if all our football lovers out there, or even football, people who are just slightly interested in football, caught David Gallop, the CEO of the FFA's comment in the last 24 hours or so that the Socceroos are now, because they won the Asian Cup and they've got such a good trajectory upwards going up to the Russia 2018 World Cup. They've got a young team, a young coach. Everyone's pumped up and
yes,
and really up and about at the moment, saying that the Socceroos are now, they've usurped the Australian cricket team and now Australia's team. So I think what he's suggesting is it's Australia's favourite team. So I thought I thought it was a very interesting comment to make. David Gallop, since coming in to the position of CEO, has not been reluctant in having a crack at the other codes.
He's very bold, hasn't he?
He has. He's come out and said that, you know, the vision for Australian football is, you know, in a certain amount of time will be the biggest sport. And whereas other his predecessors, Ben Buckley and a few before, they were always a little bit reticent in going down that path and picking fights with the other codes. But David Gallop has no problem at all in doing that. And there's another statement that I thought was really interesting I'd like to throw out. And again, this is not a fight between cricket and soccer.
Oh, you've made it a fight.
I know, I have.
As soon as you said that, you've made it a fight.
I know I have, but I want it to be more of an analysis of his comment and why he would say it right now when there's a lot of stuff going on in the sport. As much as it's good and it's growing and I've never seen it in better health,
yep.
There's a lot of stuff that's contradictory to what he said there.
Well, let's go through what he did say, what David Gallop did say. And I was reading this morning in Michael Lynch's article in the Age. We believe they are the only team, this is the Socceroos, that truly represents the nation in all of its diversity and multiculturalism. Winning the Asian Cup was a huge shot in the arm for them in the game. It highlighted the importance of football to the nation. That is the common language of the globe. Football is the common language of Asia and all of its diversity. People went along to games to support the Socceroos and their own heritage, and I think they brought into the idea that it was a tournament that put a spotlight on the nation. I think economically, politically, socially, the nation will see the benefit of that tournament in the years to come. The Socceroos have certainly boosted their importance in the commercial picture of the game. They are setting themselves on a realistic road to Russia and perhaps progressing past the pool stage in Russia.
All that is right. All that is absolutely right, but he's actually called it that the Socceroos are the Australia's team.
Australia's
he's actually
team.
Called that. He's not saying they will be Australia's team. He's
yep.
saying that they are right now.
Yep.
Well, I think if you're gonna put this into some sort of measure, I think to be Australia's team, it's all about numbers. It's all about numbers and dollars for me.
Right.
And the numbers I refer to are who's turning up to games. Number one. And secondly, who's watching it on TV? I think they're the major outlets. Of course, you can go into merchandising and all the other stuff.
Yep.
But I think they're the two things that I think of when it talks to the proof or the evidence that you are Australia's team or you are worthy of the attention that you're seeking. And I think, of course, cricket's been a long time tenants of Channel 9. And yep. That's just getting bigger and bigger. They're not going to let cricket ever go. And the numbers on Channel 9 are fantastic. The money coming through the sport because of the TV rights is fantastic. Of course, AFL are with Channel 7, and the same thing happens there. Football at the moment is on Fox Sports, and they do a fantastic job with Bozza and the team.
Yep.
And they do some on SBS. So for me, the criteria to be Australia's team has to be, especially if you're calling it now, has to be that you're in a place where you've got most exposure, and that means on either Channel 7 or Channel 9, and it has to be not a disingenuous way of presenting it, where you're almost tucking it away in the cupboard like Channel 7 used to do many years ago with the old NSL. Talking about you put it front and centre. This is an important sport.
Yeah.
It's prime time. We're going to put the money into it and all that sort of stuff. So I see the only two networks that can do that is Channel 7 and Channel 9, and football doesn't have a presence on that. And also, I still think, I was surprised that the Socceroos didn't sell out every game they played in the Asian Cup. At home, favourites, playing great football, exciting. They didn't sell out, except for the final. They did not sell out. I don't even think the final was sold out. So it's got to be the hottest ticket in town too. Mm. So that plus the fact that I still think there's some contradictions out there in the way the sport, the position the sport's in right now. And I'm talking about, for example, you know, Fade Ben Kalfalar at the moment. Fantastic player for Melbourne Victory. What a pickup he is. Brilliant player. In contract talks with Victory at the moment. They haven't signed him up. They haven't sealed the deal with him. And also Mark Yanko in Sydney, the guy who scored 17 goals. Looks like he's going to break the one season record. Take that away from Berisha that he got a couple of years ago for Brisbane Roar. The reason why the FFA won't make it easy for clubs to sell, to sign these players again is because of the marquee rule and the squad sizes. We see how West Sydney Wanderers is suffering right now. I understand why the FFA are doing it. They're worried about clubs overspending and the club and the league going broke again.
But if
you're saying you're worried about it being viable and then you're saying the Socceroos are Australia's team, I just think there's some contradictions there too. And as much as I want the sport to be the biggest it can be, I'm certainly not. I get in here every week and talk football, and I love it. And of course, we want the sport to be as big as possible. But I like to keep it a little bit realistic too.
It's interesting. You're talking about the Socceroos and the Asian Cup, and Turfy was with KB. I'm not sure if you heard Turfy talking with KB on must have been Monday on Hungry for Sports, saying that Patrick Smith was saying that it was one of the highlights of the summer. Possibly the sporting moment of the summer was the Asians winning the Australian winning the Asians Cup. Turfy is saying, well, it's not really because it's not anywhere near the highest level of... Couldn't possibly be the sporting highlight because it wasn't the top level of play. Now, it was like, you know, it's a small confederation compared to the world in terms of quality, and there's not one team in the top 20, not one team in the top 40, I don't think, in the FIFA rankings.
Yep.
So he was saying, well, how could it possibly be our sporting highlight? And I think it's possibly that's one of the arguments for people who would look at this article today or listen to these quotes from David Gallop yesterday and say, what the hell is this man talking? How could they possibly be our favourite team across the nation if they're not even top 50 in the world?
Yeah, well, I mean, that means you'll criticise the Commonwealth Games too. Anyone who wins a gold medal...
A lot of people do.
Commonwealth Games, if you win gold medals, and a lot of Australian swimmers, for example, have made a career.
Yep.
Millions of dollars of endorsement just by winning Commonwealth gold medals. And
absolutely.
Do you ever not get excited about football because... Unless we win a World Cup in football. I mean, this is the thing, like, you know, it really depends what you're looking for and stuff. I felt it was a fantastic performance. It did so much... Again, I always...
Can I just say off the top, with you.
Well,
I was glued.
Yeah. Look, for me, a real measuring stick for me is just my friends who obviously know I come in here and talk football and they're not necessarily great football lovers, but they're interested in the sport and how they've graduated with their education in the game and how they get excited. And they could not wait to get a hold of me after the final to talk about what it did to their family during the night when they were watching it.
Yeah.
What, you know, how they all reacted, what it meant to them. If you're in the, and this is people who just love sport. They don't necessarily love football, but they couldn't wait to tell me what the effect the Socceroos had on them in that game. So, you know, in that respect, it's got to be a highlight. If you're looking to be the best in the world, well, you're waiting every 4 years and you'll probably be waiting 50, 60 years before Australia wins one.
So you're not being as brash as David Gallop saying it is the nation's team at the moment, or are you?
No, what I'm saying...
There's measures in place that you would like to see.
Absolutely. The look of the team is certainly a cross-section of Australia. And in that way, we all relate to the team. Everyone relates to the team. Even if you're not an Italian or Greek or, Asian or whatever, and they're playing for Australia, and you might be an Australian guy who knows Italians and Greeks. And so you can relate to the faces in that team, to the fact that they're young Australian guys with Australian accents, even though they might look, you know, from different nationalities, they are a cross section of Australia. In that respect, they've got it all over the cricket team, because the cricket team don't look like a cross section of Australia.
Yep.
So in that respect, yes, we're Australia's team, and what they did in the Asian Cup to connect with Australia, I think in that respect, yes. But if you're talking about the dollars and cents and the numbers that go with that, you know, with that mantle, that's something that we don't have yet. And, you know, I mean, for me, ultimately, that sounded like, with David Gallop, that sounded like a pitch to a sponsor.
24 past one on a Wednesday afternoon. You're over the hump on the downward run to a big sporting weekend. We'll be all across that on SEN. Carlos Alberto Diego is with us today from Four Diegos. Tonight from 11 till 12, the boys all back together with their big hot topics from 11. So make sure you don't miss that at Melbourne's Home of Sport, 11:16 SEN. We're talking about David Gallop's comments that the Socceroos are truly the national team, the nation's number one team these days. Do you agree with that? 9:429, 11:16. You raised a very interesting point before the break, Carlos, and we'll get to that very, very shortly. But Terry and Benalla's on the open line, 9:429, 11:16. G'day, Terry.
G'day, guys. How are we going?
Good mate.
Look, I follow AFL, mad Sydney Swans supporter, but my kids played soccer, and they watched soccer to the early hours of the morning coming out of Britain or around the world where all our Socceroos play.
Yep.
That's what it's about. It's not about local telly and A-League. It's got a small following. But worldwide, it is huge. Well, and that's why we follow the Socceroos. We have got champions in other countries playing everywhere. That's what it's about. And also, AFL can't play other countries. I wish it could, because it would be amazing.
We should win that.
We should win, yeah, but it doesn't happen. That's what we miss. Rugby, only a few countries like netball. But worldwide, it is huge. And it's getting bigger. And the kids that play AFL watch soccer after they play AFL.
Yeah, but Terry, are the Socceroos the number one team, national team in Australia at the moment?
When they play another country, everyone watches. Everyone watches.
Are they bigger than the cricket?
Yes.
If they were playing... Right, I'm going to throw this at you, Terry, because I'm intrigued by what you're saying here. I don't agree that they are... I don't agree that they're the biggest. I think the Australian cricket team is still the biggest. But the Socceroos are coming thick and fast, and they've got a huge presence in the marketplace as a national team. What about if the Socceroos are playing, let's say they're playing Oman in a friendly? Terry, what happens then with the viewing audience? What do you reckon numbers they are there?
Not as big, because that's like a practice match in AFL. But when it's a big game, look at the MCG when we played Iran. I was there. I've been to grand finals. The day that the wacko cut the net, I could not hear the players being announced for the game. Now, that player at the MCG is loud as anything. I could not hear it during any of the pre-game. Australia that night went crazy. And I'm told that happens every time we play big ones.
The atmosphere is terrific.
Yeah.
That is absolutely spot on. Mm. The atmosphere is terrific. But I think the sport is more conducive to atmosphere than perhaps, certainly cricket, Carlos, which is much more, in terms of spectator enthusiasm, much more dull game compared to the world game. It's interesting.
In 97, though, I was there also, and I was heartbroken with the rest of them, but you went through the roller coaster that night, because I think it was 38 years. We were looking at qualifying for the World Cup. We'd drawn one all in Tehran, and young Harry Kuehl was on fire. And even, you know, the national anthem, I'd never heard the national anthem sung the way it was that night. The other thing was, for 80 minutes of that game? Something like that. We were absolutely so dominant in that game against Iran. And we were celebrating, you know, at the 75th minute mark, we were celebrating that we were going to go to the World Cup for the first time in France with a really great side with Terry Venables, our manager. So there was a lot of expectation around that game. And the Iranians were also portrayed as a pack of amateurs, you know, with the way they were preparing and the way... And so we all thought that this was just a laydown.
Yep.
And in the end, we lost. So that may have been the occasion too. And also the 2005 qualifier against Uruguay in Sydney, and I was at that game too, the same thing. I think the expectation around those games suddenly gets everyone in Australia entranced with it. But does it make it the number one national team in Australia? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, and that's the question. And I really enjoyed that call. Terry, stay on the line. $100 voucher to Ribera's restaurant coming your way next time you're in town. Pop in and see Johnny Ribera and the team there. 3 a.m. starts at the fish market. Give you the best and freshest seafood every day in Port Melbourne or North Melbourne. Google Ribera's and the rest is easy. Now, there's a good SMS here, because I was trying to get to this point, but I didn't get to it. Pete on the road says half, because I mean, when I mentioned the Socceroos playing Oman in a friendly, and the lack of interest that would be there. Pete raises the point. I was going to ask, would that be different if it was the Australian cricket team versus Bangladesh or Zimbabwe?
Yeah.
Or that, one of those type of teams.
And they'd play that in Tassie or something. They'll tend to move that to Alice Springs or Tassie or something like that.
Or even if they were overseas, if at the same time, what would be the audience? It was just a genuine question for interest. I never got to that part of it, Pete, so thank you for that. And somebody off the open line might want to answer that for us. 949-1116. Richard's in St Albans to continue the discussion. G'day, Rich.
Yeah, g'day, Half, Carlos. Half, I've got to agree with you, mate. I love my football, the world game, but the Aussie cricket team is still the number one. I mean, how many times do we hear that, barring the Prime Ministership, the Australian captain comes second in the status, which is the cricket team? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm. You know, and I mean, look, the Socceroos, they're fantastic. I think Gallup's gone a little bit early here. You know, I mean, obviously the World Cup is always bigger than the Olympic Games. Everybody knows that. You know, that's a fact.
Yep.
And Carlos, I agree with you as well. Unless it gets on the commercial TV regularly, you know, soccer's still going to be wishy-washy. I mean, I'm pretty disappointed with SBS's the way they've been promoting it. Now they're on their number one channel. You know, last year it got more advertisement when they were on SBS2, but this year been very wishy-washy. Foxtel do a fantastic job, but as for the national team, you still got to give it to cricket these days.
Thank you for your call, Richard. Good stuff from you. $2 of wine, one red, one white, thanks to AR Property Investments coming your way. We solved the property investment puzzle for you. He's backing up your point about command, and it's a good point, I think. Commanding a presence is a key component of major media outlets' coverage, business, core business. I think is a relevant discussion, part of the discussion here.
It's all about numbers, and TV stations are all about numbers. If you've got a product that everyone wants to watch or attend or spend money on, they want it. And if football was in that space right now, they would be on either Channel 9 or Channel 7. They certainly got the curiosity going in those networks, and I'm sure that the networks will be more serious about possibly putting in a bid for the next TV rights. But will they spend the money they spend for AFL or will they spend the money they spend for cricket? Well, that depends on numbers. It depends on what commercial realities are of having that sport on those networks.
Tell me, Carlos, let's expand on your point before the last break about you think that these comments very shrewdly made by David Gallup in the as an advertising campaign basically for a sponsor, because the Socceroos don't have one.
They don't have a major sponsor. They don't have a major sponsor, which is really funny because it was way back as 85. They had the Winfield Socceroos in the Scotland series, and they've had the Qantas Socceroos. But really, even in the last World Cup, we didn't have a major sponsor. And the FFA might be asking really top dollar for it, and people aren't prepared to pay for it. So it's not there's probably
Australia's number one team.
I think that this was almost a public pitch that he was putting out there to any sponsors that are out there, maybe get them fighting a little bit and get a bit of rivalry going there to push the price up.
Interesting.
And look, it's obvious that the FFA aren't going to sell the sponsorship for cheap. They're not going to give it to anyone. They want top dollar for it, and that's why it's probably taken them so long to try and get someone.
If that's what he's done, that's very, very shrewd.
Oh, no, he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. I mean, look, in that respect, he's a smart guy, but he just doesn't take a backward step when it comes to this, which I love.
Yeah.
But in reality, we've got to see the hype and measure that to the substance. And I think there still is a gap between the two.
Abad's in Bunyip off the SMS says, why do we ever need to have Australia's number one team, in quotation marks, soccer, cricket, and not competing against each other? We didn't start this fight. David Gallup started this fight.
With all due respect, there is a competition because it's the sponsor funds and TV rights. There's a lot of competition. It drives the sports.
And time of the year too. They're competing for airtime at the same time here in Australia anyway.
Absolutely.
From a major point of view, major viewership point of view. We didn't start the fight, Bart. We're just trying to inflame it or put it out, depending on, I'm not sure which way we're going here. You seem to say, you're saying at the moment they're not? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they're not, but certainly on the way up. They close the gap. I'm not sure how many years that'll take, but we'll see.
Carlos with us, 21-2, and I have no doubt the boys tonight on the Four Diegos from 11 until midnight on SEN will be jam-packed with callers wanting to discuss this very issue. But David Gallup's claim that Socceroos are now number one in terms of national sporting teams. The lines are open. There's plenty of people who want to have their say. We'll get through as many as we can. Pete's in Tullamarine. G'day, Pete.
Hello, gentlemen. Love your commentary.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, look, I think one of the things that we need to be aware of here is that cricket and Aussie rules have got about 120 years up on soccer. But having said that, when you look at the leaps and bounds of soccer in the last 10 years, you've got to say that it's giving the landscape a real shake-up. If you ask me personally, I think the Socceroos are the number one team for Australia. But does that only last till you're winning? Same as the, you know, once again, it's the same old story. So, look, I think it's a generational thing. You know, soccer really came into the country in the 50s when people like my family and relatives migrated to Australia. My dad brainwashed me with the game. I'm doing the same with my children. And I think it's the children's and the children and the generation of the children that are going to fill the soccer stadiums. And, you know, when I look around at the people that I work with and socialise with, you know, they're talking more about the Socceroos than the cricket. But, you know, that needs to last.
Absolutely, Peter. And I think the other thing too, Peter, you talk about the game really, really improving and becoming relevant in the last 10 years. That's purely because it's just better administered. We just never, ever hear of the sport shooting itself in the foot anymore because it's poorly administered. And the other thing is too, I think, you know, the fact that Australia has qualified for the last three World Cups has helped too.
No doubt.
I think it's got to be a number of different things, but it's just what it's done, it's made the sport relevant and interesting to people who are open to it.
Yep. Good points, Pete. A couple of really good points well made there. So give your kids a $100 Concave boot voucher. Go and buy the best boots in town from Concave, the official boot of the Geelong Cats when they're playing their games. Visit concave.com for more details on that. Bill's in Bulleen. Hello, Bill.
How are you going, boys? I just think when you go on, if you go on statistics, on rankings, our soccer team is probably our worst-ranked Australian representative team. Be serious. That's what you've got to talk about in the Asian Cup. Well, that Western Sydney mob won the club's one, didn't they? And have a look where they are on our ladder. They're down the bottom on statistics. They've improved above where you can tell that by the people. But when that other guy rang up and said his father came from overseas, it's a lot of the ethnic people that have come to Australia, a huge population of them. I think that's helped soccer a hell of a lot. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, but Bill, on that point there, I have a lot of people who are from English background, generational, so they count themselves as Australians here, and their kids are now taking them to the football because they want to play. They're playing it at school, and suddenly they're meeting friends who love the sport, so they want to join the local clubs. So parents are coming to me and saying, Carlos, how do I coach this? I'm just learning about this because my kid's the expert, and almost the kids are driving the parents to the sport because they really want to play it.
Yep. Interesting stuff, Bill. Thank you for that. Andre's in Footscray. G'day, Andre. Where's Andre? Is he there?
Yeah. Bonjour. Hello, guys. I think there's two teams. Firstly, the Netball Diamonds. These two teams are more popular than soccer. The Netball Diamonds have won five of the past six World Championships. The only competition they've had is New Zealand. And also the Kangaroos Rugby League team have won four of the past five World Cups, and New Zealand's the only other team that's beaten them. So, but with netball, it's a women's sport, so it doesn't get much headlines, and rugby league is not as popular in Melbourne as in Sydney, so that's why the rugby league isn't being mentioned. It's a great team, the Kangaroos.
Well, I think we need to realise, Bill, that popularity versus success is a different argument, and public sentiment towards those teams is a different discussion. But
We talked about the Diamonds before the show.
We were talking about loving
the girls.
Looking forward to the World Cup.
The athletes they are. Fantastic. Can't wait for the World Cup this year.
Thank you, Andre. Doug's in Footscray. G'day, Doug.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a couple of things, Carlos, is that you said only one Australian soccer game was sold out and the other ones weren't, right? Except the Sydney one. The two Brisbane games were sold out. The Melbourne game was sold out. That's what we were told.
Yeah, look, I think that they were hoping for it, Doug, but I don't think they were sellouts in the end. And it could have been, I think, one or two of them had rain. Look, I'm not saying they were poorly attended, but if you want to be the Australian team playing in a tournament where you're expected to win, there's a lot of hype around it, you know, there's a lot of history to be made, and you're calling yourself Australia's number one team, you'd think that you're the hottest ticket in town. Big tournament like that. You know, a lot of media around it. We're doing well, exciting a lot of people. It still didn't absolutely pack it to the rafters. And that's, for me, that's a little bit of a measure that we've still got a little bit to go.
I guarantee if we had a World Cup here, we'd pack it to the rafters every game.
Yeah, but I think every game would, not only Australian games, but I think we'd fill every stadium for every game.
Thank you, Doug, for your call. Andy in Wyndham Vale, last one on this. I know there's going to be a few people miss out. Apologies for that, but we do need to move on. G'day, Andy.
Hey, guys. How are we?
Good.
Good, mate.
Good. I think a previous call kind of took the thunder a little bit, but I'll still ask it anyway. It just sort of froze the thought. Because, I mean, personally, I love my football. I'm all over. It's actually almost taken over the AFL. But, look, I love my cricket too. But it also sort of froze the thought. Do you think that tradition has sort of, you know, everyone goes to the cricket and loves the cricket because they've grown up with it as kids?
Yeah.
Whereas football's had this sort of... Not really, it came out in the 50s and stuff.
Andy, we might just cut you off there. It's very difficult to hear you for whatever reason. I believe you must be travelling as you speak. And that's cool, but we're just difficult to hear you. That gets back to the point that was made a couple of calls ago, Carlos, about the history and the background of the other sports that have been more established in Australia through centuries.
And that helps, by the way, too, when the culture of Channel 9, I mean, the culture of cricket is really embedded at Channel 9 because of the Kerry Packer years and so forth. So, it's not only that they want to invest in it because they think it's a popular sport and commercially it's fantastic for the network, but the people there understand the sport, they love the sport, they're passionate about the sport. And until we start getting media people and producers and stuff in networks that love football, I mean, talking about commercial networks...
Like you.
Well, you know, I can head Channel 9 anytime.
This
is
why you're here with me, mate.
this
is a stepping stone to stardom for you.
But it does. They'll go the extra mile if they absolutely love and are passionate, understand the sport. It's part of the fabric of how they grew up. So I think that's where we can also improve too in the networks and the media aspect of it.
Thanks for all your calls on that. We're going to change tack slightly after the break and talk about, you mentioned Fade Ben Kalfala and his contract situation with the Victory and how difficult it's going to be to keep him now. Yanko up in Sydney is in a similar boat. And we're going to talk about what the FFA can do to keep these guys with these clubs to make it a better competition. Hey, Carlos, what can the FFA do to help the competition by clubs being able to retain some stars that have the jump out of the box? And Ben Kalfala is a classic example from the Victory. Yanko's another one from Sydney FC. I mean, these guys are in danger of being lost to those clubs just because of the rules, basically.
Yeah. And look, I think what we're getting better at too with the A-League is that the clubs are better at finding these gems who aren't necessarily the top Del Piero type names or Tim Cahill type names, but the next rung, captain of Austria, is Mark Yanko. Kalfala was a Tunisian international who was just highly regarded, played a high level in France, and just now... just going down his tail end of his career in Europe, but here he's a really, really great player. If you watch Kalfala play on Friday night against West Sydney Wanderers, he was just masterful. He was fantastic. Yeah, he created so many goals and he scored some great ones. He's just a great, great player. And kudos to Victory for through their networks, finding a player like that, because he's perfect for our league. He's a good player and he excites people over time. It's like Thomas Broich was, it still is, at Brisbane Roar.
Yeah.
Now, once you've recruited these guys and they've settled in and they've given you some really good stuff, and that's the reason why people come to the game, you know, why should Victory then have a problem signing this guy when he's done well and he wants more money? So I'm just thinking they've got to do something. And the boys at Fox Sports were talking about this the other night. You know, why not have a second marquee spot? You know, it's outside their salary cap anyway. Yep. If some benefactor wants to come in and put the money in, why not? Okay, we're always worried about clubs overspending and it's a natural tendency for them to spend too much to try and get success. But, you know, this is a greater thing in football in that Kalfala brings people through the gate. Yanko is scoring for fun at the moment. 17 goals. It looks like he's going to break Berisha's record for a number of goals in the year. He's a likeable guy. He scores great goals too. And, you know, they're the players that make Sydney a big club. Well, they call themselves a big club, but getting more people through the gate. So the FFA have got to just look at these situations and say, okay, there is a justification for a second marquee spot or something like that.
So, but they've been reticent to adjust these laws, and the international marquee spots are a classic example. They've been hesitant to do that. I mean, why would it change now, Carlos, do you think?
Look, I think we're getting some good stuff off the SMS about people talking about the crowds at the moment, the crowds since the Asian Cup.
Yep.
And, you know, why aren't the crowds going? Is the standard of the game not as good? The matches aren't as tight as they were, aren't as exciting as they were. Are the players not, capturing the imagination of the spectators.
Yep.
FFA are going to look at the whole gamut of reasons why people go to the football. And one important part is the standard of play and the quality of players that are playing. Are the players going to excite you? And so they've got to look at this. If they're not looking at it already, they might. You know, we're calling for it now, but you can't do it halfway through the season. But they're not even talking about it for next year. It might be, on the planning for next year, but no one's talking about it yet. So it's better that we're driving the agenda now, because I think we've got to keep players like this. And I hope Victory don't lose Kalfala, because he loves being in Melbourne, but you know, he's a professional footballer at the tail end of his career. He's got to make as much as he can. I understand that.
Right, I want you to continue this discussion tonight on the 40 Egos from 11 p.m, Carlos. So we'll need to get to a break. After that, we're going to go through this weekend's A-League games and see what you reckon about them, because we really are getting towards nitty-gritty. Well, it's round 22. It's 27 rounds. It's not too far away before we get real serious in the 2014-15 edition of the Hyundai A-League. So we'll go through the games after this with Carlos. Carlos, this weekend's A-League action, Sydney FC and Melbourne City, Friday night. That's going to be good, but hard-pressed to tip against Sydney FC, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, they're playing great football. You want to support Melbourne City, don't you? I mean, they had the win last week after a very, very dodgy few games.
You've got to pick the team you think will win.
Carlos. I know, but I'll go for City.
that's a sympathy one. Hey, this will be a belter, West Sydney and Newcastle.
Oh, no, it won't. No, it won't. Newcastle are a pub team, and West Sydney Wanderers are tired.
Adelaide hosting the Melbourne Victory.
Oh, what a game this is. People talk about the rivalry between Sydney and Melbourne Victory, and then also, you know, Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory. But Adelaide United and Melbourne Victory has got a long, long history, and it's a big, big game. I mean, they don't want to be dropping points, and if any one of these two teams get the 3 points, suddenly they're in the box seat, with Perth now losing some games too.
Who wins?
Victory, away from home.
Speaking of Perth, they don't want to be dropping points against Central Coast in Gosford.
Perth should win because they're grit, but Central Coast at home, you never know.
And the last game of the round, Brisbane Roar hosting the league-leading Wellington Phoenix.
I know, that's a hot topic for next week. Do you care that Wellington's on top? I think Wellington's on a roll at the moment, but Brisbane have to win to stay in the six, to get into the six, so I think Brisbane will win that game.
Brisbane in a tight one there against the league leaders. They won't be league leading for long with that sort of stuff. Carlos, great to see you. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, mate.